the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. We are meeting on a fateful day today, which is not only the most divisive election in American history, but I have no doubt the most consequential. There's, alas, a great distinction between the way things ought to be and the way things really are. I have invited back once again my dear friend, an expert on polling, who is very insightful about how this game is being played out, but where we'll need to take into consideration all the techniques that the Democrats are going to bring into play to try to steal this election, not just from Donald Trump, but from the American people. Because as my guest, Rolf Lindgren, will make unmistakably clear Donald Trump is the American people's choice. Rolf, I can't thank you enough for coming back today. Lay it on. Rolf, are you there? We're in an unusual situation today because Mitchell was pulled away for an interview. So let me tell you how things are shaping up while we do our best to get Rolf here. I'll call him in the meanwhile and see if he can call in on the line. But of course, it's going to be Mitchell's line, so...
Other guy, so he
okay. Hang on, Mitchell. Have you got Rolf now? He's hang on a second.
Hey, Jim. Is this Jim?
Yes.
Hey, Jim. I'm bringing Giuseppe in, and he's going to connect Rolf.
Okay. You're going to be tied in momentarily, Rolf.
I'm sorry. I got my two wires crossed this afternoon. And I was kind of trying to call Giuseppe. I actually, here we go. And if Giuseppe can add Rolf, I would appreciate it. I've got this other reporter standing on this other line.
Yeah, I'm here.
Trying to do a Zoom call. I apologize, Jim.
Okay, Mitchell. Thank you so much. Good luck with your interview. Giuseppe, do you have Rolf's number?
No. Okay. Can you put in the chat?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So I'll see if we can pull him in. This morning, David Horowitz was observing that the electoral map looked very much like the electoral map of 2016. He was going through the states, and while I would disagree on some counts, he certainly got most of the map right. Among the differences I would have with Horowitz is he believes all of the Pacific Coast states are going to go for Biden. I'm very skeptical. We have had such profound events in Seattle, such profound events in Portland and elsewhere in California that I think there's a very good chance those states may go red. Meanwhile, I'm very glad to say Rolf has joined us now, my friend. I'm so pleased to have you here today.
I'm here now. I think the Biden campaign must have been interfering with our connection.
It wouldn't surprise me, Rolf, because, you know, you're going to tell us how the voting ought to go, but I'm explaining that we have to now realize the difference between the way things should be, which you're going to be reporting, and how they're going to be tabulated. Because as Joseph Stalin observed, who casts the votes doesn't matter. Who counts the votes does. Your thoughts. Okay. Give us a...
Okay, well, first of all, everybody who hasn't voted needs to get out and vote. This is the most important election in U.S. history. We can put the New World Order out of business for good, put the deep state out of business for good, put the establishment out of business for good, whatever you want to call it. They're going to be out of business, and the people who are in favor of liberty, peace, justice, and truth will be back in charge, at least for the next 50 to 100 years, if we can win this election. So make sure, please vote. The polls are still open in every state as we speak. Now, I projected the election earlier yesterday. I put out my final projections, actually, about a week ago, but I'm projecting a 326 to 212 victory for President Trump. That means Trump would win 30 states that he won last time, plus Minnesota, Nevada, and New Hampshire. That's my projection. That gives a lot of margin of error in case he doesn't win, you know, Minnesota, in case he doesn't win Arizona or whatever. It's a margin of error that's bigger than the last time. As far as the voter fraud, I don't think that the voter fraud is going to come into play. It's only going to come into play if you have a really close election, like maybe a half a percent or less. If you win by more than that, the voter fraud isn't going to happen. Remember that Trump has a giant team of lawyers watching over the election. So the idea that there can be voter fraud is, I don't think that's going to win for him. A friend of mine was voting today, though, in Madison, and he said that the guy behind him had 10 absentee ballots. So he called the voter hotline, but they claim that they said that that's legal if the guy's a poll worker. And the poll workers apparently get in line and run the ballots through the machine. So remember, those ballots would be inspected individually if there was a recount. And remember, we did a recount in 2016. There was a recount by Jill Stein of the Green Party, and we did a recount in Wisconsin. The entire state was recounted, and it was only off by 170 votes that Trump gained, actually. So if Trump had lost by 150 votes, then he would have won the election by finding 170 votes in the recount.
Rolf, you're correct about that recount that was inspired by Jill Stein, but you're leaving out that she wanted three states to be reviewed.
Yeah, the other two states never finished because they have screwed up. Remember, in our country, we have an electoral college, so you have to get the voting has to be certified in time for the electors to be named to the recall, which I think you have at least until Thanksgiving or maybe even another week after that. But the recount was never finished in Pennsylvania's was really screwed up, and I think Michigan's was screwed up too. Supposedly they finished a lot of the recount, but they never released it because they never really finished it.
Well, there was massive corruption in Michigan, Rolf. They had some precincts with more votes than voters. And in Pennsylvania, because so many are done with touchscreen machines that don't even keep a tabulated record, it was impossible to do a recount, which means
Pennsylvania. I don't know if that's true or not. And in Wisconsin, we don't have any problems with recounts because we have paper ballots.
Yes.
I don't know. I think that the problem in these other states was this: the procedure to do the recount was really screwed up. They have to go through, I don't know what they had to do, but see, Jill Stein asked for the recount, in some states you can't just do a recount. You have to go through all these court hearings, and then the other side files a lawsuit, and then the other side, and then the next judge has to hear it, and then we don't have to go through all that in Wisconsin. We just do a recount. That's how we do it here. So I think that the voting was slowed down. Remember, Trump won the states anyway. You know,
yeah.
he was up by – it was a lot closer than 170 votes, or a lot farther away than 170 votes. It was like 17,000 votes, and I think it was 44,000 votes in Pennsylvania. So I'm not going to get worried about recounts and stuff. I think that's just a way to discourage people from voting. So to me, that's a waste of time, especially when you have Trump and all of his lawyers looking things over. The best way to stop a voter fraud is just to win by 2 or 3%, and then there's nothing they can do about it. Now, as far as the 50 states, now I did hear you on the talking about the East Coast. Or I mean the West Coast states, you know, in a what I think is going to happen is the margins are going to be much smaller in Washington, Oregon, and California than the last election. In California, Clinton racked up 4 million vote advantage, which is why she won the popular vote. I wouldn't be surprised if 2 million people in California did not vote last time. 2 million Republicans did not vote last time because they knew that Trump was going to lose, and there were no Republicans running, so they just didn't bother to vote.
Was going to lose the state. Yeah.
So I think that Trump will still lose California, but I think that the margin will be much closer, and that means that Trump could win the national popular vote. I think the margins because of all the riots and all the other stuff in Oregon and and in Seattle and Oregon. You know, I'm looking at a closer election in those states as well. Probably not a Trump victory, but you never know. I mean, Trump could, you never know, but right now I wouldn't predict a victory in those states, but I would predict a smaller margin. As I said earlier, I only have three states added in as new states for Trump. Another state that's on the border, they say, is Maine. Maine, with Susan Collins running, maybe Trump can carry Maine. Another state, I've heard there's good numbers for Trump in Virginia. I've heard New Mexico. So I've heard these other places bandied about. Whether Trump would really win these or not, I'm not sure, but he should have certainly cut the margins from last time. In Virginia, the Democrats have been blowing out Republicans lately. So, you know, if he can cut the margin, that would be nice. Another state where he could cut the margin is New Jersey. That's a state that maybe he could cut the margin in, you know, maybe even a state like, maybe all the states. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if almost all the states Trump cut the margins, that the states that he lost last time. And then looking at the states that he won, the key states this year are Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. Those are, and maybe Arizona. Well, I got a report here from a quote from Jen O'Malley Dillon, who I believe is the campaign manager for Biden. And she said, "We continue to have multiple pathways to 270 votes, even without Pennsylvania and Florida." So that's a pretty stupid comment to make that early on election day, but it sounds like she's saying that they're not going to win Pennsylvania or Florida. And those are the numbers that I've been hearing as well. Now, if Joe Biden doesn't win Pennsylvania and Florida, he has a pretty low probability of winning the election. Because if he loses Pennsylvania, that's probably correlated to all the other Midwest states, like Michigan and Ohio and Iowa and Minnesota and Wisconsin. So that's bad. That's bad. And there's another report out from Bill Stepien, the campaign manager for Trump. So he has the best statistics of anybody. He says that Trump, according to his calculations, Trump is ahead by 500,000. This is as of yesterday, 500,000 votes in Florida, 400,000 votes in Ohio, 400,000 votes in Michigan, 150,000 votes in Arizona, and 1 million votes in Pennsylvania. Okay, and guess what? These are the same states that Trump has been heavily campaigning in, right? These are the states he's been campaigning in the most heavily. It's obvious to me that at the very last end of the campaign, Trump shifted his focus from Florida. Because remember, Florida has 29 electoral votes. He shifted it to Pennsylvania, which has about 20 electoral votes. So it seemed like there was a shift at the last minute, which tells me that the Trump campaign thinks they're going to take Florida, so they wanted to get Pennsylvania. And they also seem to have shifted away a little bit from North Carolina. And remember, North Carolina has a Senate race with Tom Tillis, not the greatest Republican senator, but right now Trump needs senators to help him get his agenda through. So Tom Tillis is highly touted as a vulnerable Republican. Remember, if you're in one of these states, you want to vote for all these senators as well and the House members. Well, I don't see Tom Tillis losing. I think Trump's going to win North Carolina. I think Trump's going to win Florida. I think Trump's going to win Pennsylvania. Three states that the Democrats have been having a pipe dream over are Iowa, Ohio, and Texas. We keep hearing, Biden's going to run an ad in this state or something, but then he rarely ever did. Or Bloomberg's going to spend money in this state or something. then it turns out he didn't really spend that much. You know, somebody visited Texas. I think Kamala Harris went down to Texas. Okay. These states are not going to go for Joe Biden. You know why? Because in 2016, Trump lost all of these states in the primary. He lost to Ted Cruz in Iowa. He lost to Ted Cruz in Texas. He lost to John Kasich in Ohio. The Republicans in those states didn't even like Trump. And at the last minute, Trump had to put together a campaign, and he ended up winning all three states by 8 to 10%. Okay? So how is Trump going to go from winning those states by 8 to 10% when he has a weak party behind him to having a strong party behind him in the same state? It makes no sense whatsoever. Also, remember that if you look at the Real Clear Politics polling archive, President Trump was only a 38% approval rating on Election Day in 2016. Now he's at 40. I just looked it up. Trump is at 46% approval right now on Real Clear Politics. That's an 8% increase. Okay, and think about it. It makes sense. Think of all the people who like Trump now who didn't like him last time. Think of all the people like evangelicals, people who are pro-life and thought he was a fraud because he was a New York liberal or something. Think of all the people who, you know, didn't believe he was really going to cut taxes. Think of all the people who didn't think he was going to cut regulations. Think of all the people who are happy he hasn't started any wars. Think of the people who like the prison reform that he did. Think of all these other things that he did. And not to mention exposing the deep state, which I think is actually in many ways the single most important thing. Think of all these things that President Trump has done, and you say, well, okay, he's 8% more people like him than 26. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Remember last election, people told you, what did they tell you about Trump? He's going to start World War III, right? Okay, well, that didn't happen. In fact, it's the exact opposite. We have lots of peace treaties, and if he gets that peace treaty with Saudi Arabia and Israel, that's going to close off any chance for a war for Israel in the Middle East for a long time. Then another reason why not to vote for Trump, they said, is, oh, President Trump, he's going to crash the economy. He's going to crash the stock market. Well, I guess Trump cranked up the economy to record highs. Then the COVID came in, the plandemic, you know, with this laboratory-created virus that was obviously intended to not only to stop Trump, you know, that came in and hit the economy because the Democrats overreacted and shut down the economy. But even though the economy isn't even fully open, the stock market is, last I saw, was up 600 points today and 400 points yesterday. That's because the investors think Trump's going to win. That's 1,000 points. It's up to 27, 28,000. It's over 10,000 above when took office. So the idea that he's going to crash the stock market is a joke. Most people know that if the COVID hadn't come in, we'd be probably over 30,000 stock market. Remember, we had record low unemployment for minorities, for blacks, for women, for Latino. I mean, everything was record low unemployment. We had a 33% increase in the stock market in the third quarter, which is the highest ever recorded. Now, one of the reasons why it was so high is that it went down in the second quarter, a record high of 31%, because everybody closed down the economy. But guess what? 33% is still better than 31%. So the economy hasn't really gotten better since the COVID hit, but we still have a lockdown, sort of a lockdown in Wisconsin. We don't have a full economy in Wisconsin yet, and in most places don't. We have limits of 25% capacity for restaurants and things like that. Lots of businesses are not operating because of the government restrictions. So we have we could easily have a fourth quarter with another 10 or 15% increase, which is almost as the old record is only like 16%, you know, in one quarter. So Trump has obviously not ruined the economy with his policies. And then the third reason why a lot of people didn't vote for Trump last time was simply they thought he was an idiot. He was running as a joke. He had no chance to win and all that. Well, that's obviously not true. obviously he has a chance to win. So he obviously cares about America. You know, there's obviously a group of hardcores that hate Trump, but, you know, I think if Trump wins this election, there's going to be a reckoning in this country with the news media and big tech, because Trump will have a lot of political capital if he wins tonight. The big tech, when they're censoring everything, there's going to be some problems. And also it depends on the House. The House is 17 seats away for Republicans to retake the House. So remember, when Trump is campaigning in all these states, he's also helping the House candidates. We have to pick up 17 seats to retake the House. And what did Nancy Pelosi do in the House in the last 2 years? What did she do? Nothing, except for they impeached Trump for nothing. It was a waste of time. Remember, the First Step Act was actually passed through by Paul Ryan just before he left office, the First Step Act. That was not passed through by the Democrats. By the way, have the Democrats worked on another prison reform bill with Trump? He says he wants to do another one. That's the First Step Act, and I guess you have the Second Step Act. When is that going to happen? Well, Nancy Pelosi doesn't seem to care that much about prison reform, does she? You know, the moderate Democrats running for House have a big problem right now, because they wanted to deliver another bill for aid because of the virus.
Stand by, Rolf. Stand by, Rolf.
That never happened.
Break. We'll be right back with further updates with Rolf Lindgren. Stick around.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live, Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The perfect triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the perfect triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, with my special guest, Rolf Lindgren. Rolf, you're saying the electoral map is looking a whole lot like 2016 with the addition of certain states, including, for example, Florida and North Carolina and Minnesota. Would that be correct, adding up to Trump's
total? He won North Carolina last time, but he... The ones that I think he's going to add are Nevada, Minnesota, and New Hampshire. New Hampshire was the closest state in the country in the last election. I think it was only like 1,000 votes.
Well, did he take Florida last time or no?
He took Florida last time by one and over 1%, 1.5%, something like that. I saw Chuck Todd covering the state, and he was dejected when he realized there weren't enough votes left for Clinton to win.
You mean enough electoral votes?
There were five states that the quote experts were wrong on five states in the last election. The five states were Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Florida. Those five states, actually Romney actually won North Carolina, but the other five states, Romney lost those states. Romney also lost Ohio and Iowa. So Trump actually won six more states than Romney did. Romney won 24 states. Trump won 30 states. Trump should be 1 or 2% better across the board than last time. So he should be able to win a few more states that were close last time. Like Nevada. I mean, he was in Nevada, you know, up until right before the election. He was out in Nevada. One of his last visits to Nevada, he actually had to do it on the border, because the mayor, some Democrat mayor, wouldn't let him hold his rally. Sounds like election meddling, doesn't it? But he had to do it on the border in Arizona. But he was obviously going for Nevada. The people in Nevada are really upset because they shut down everything. They shut down the Las Vegas Strip. So all the people that live there, you know, a lot of people have left Las Vegas because they don't have a job. You can only stay so long without a job. You know, you can get government benefits, I guess, but those eventually run out. So a lot of people would like to see the Las Vegas reopened, you know. So there's also Trump is gaining support with Hispanic voters. You know, media doesn't like to talk about that, because all they want to tell you is that Trump is a racist. Well, obviously that doesn't fit with the minority votes are increasing with Trump. Trump's whole method of operation with the news media, if you really study what he's doing, he disrupts the narrative. The media comes up with these narratives, so Trump is constantly disrupting their narrative and making them look stupid. So nothing looks better than Trump. You know, nothing would make me happier than to see 20% of blacks and 40% of Hispanics vote for President Trump. You know, we in our local meetings, we have a lot of minorities that come in and talk with people, even though we don't have a high minority area for population. We love to have minorities come in and talk. We love it because we get to hear different perspectives on the issues, but they essentially agree with us. This is America is, you know, if something's good for the country, it's good for everybody. It doesn't matter what your race is. If a white working class person likes Trump, why wouldn't a black working class person like Trump? What's the difference? You know, they want a better economy. They want more opportunities. That's what people want. And they don't like the news media constantly trying to make you feel guilty. They always want to make you feel guilty because of climate change or global warming or there's systemic racism. They like to talk about this stuff. Now they want to make you feel guilty if you don't have a mask on. Okay? A lot of people are sick of it. They're fed up with it. And they're out right now. They're doing it. They're venting right now by voting. I hear that the voter turnout is very, very high in Republican areas. I'm in a Democrat area, and I voted. There was nobody there. There were two people in line in front of me, and there were three tables to go to. So I was in line for less than a minute.
Well, if I can't understand.
I'm in a Democrat area.
Yeah. I can't understand why Joe Biden and Kamala Harris would get any votes at all. I don't see why Trump can't take all 50 states.
Well, the Democrats have a built-in base of people with vested interests. Their base, it consists of these groups. First of all, they have globalist billionaires. So people who do international business, that means they don't really care about the United States. They care about their business, which isn't even in the United States in many cases. They supply the money, a lot of the money. Then the second group would be government contractors. Government contractors typically like Democrats because Democrats want bigger government. The third group that usually is votes Democrat is government workers. So those people usually vote Democrat, exceptions being police and fire department and maybe and military. But otherwise, people who work for the government typically vote Democrat. And then the fourth group is people who get government welfare. Those are the four groups that vote Democrat. That's not enough people to win elections in most places. So you have to get them over the line to get to 50%. They have to convince people that Republicans are racist or sexist or bigots or they don't care about the economy. They don't care about this, whatever. That's what they have to do. They have to scare. They have to get people to feel guilty or scared or Republicans don't care enough about something. That's why the media is constantly acting like they care so much about these different, whatever news story they're running. I mean, you listen to the mainstream news, they really get you. It's all a lot of tearjerkers. And like I said, it's great to care about people, but just because you don't like run around and, you know, save the whales or something, that doesn't mean you don't care about whales. It's just that maybe you're busy with your own life. You see, so that's how the technique works. It's based around television. The current manifestation of the New World Order essentially started with the rise of television. Once people figured out that you could get control of the population with television, and remember, we only had three channels for a long time. You know, those people who controlled those television channels controlled the whole country. They controlled the government. They controlled the elections. They controlled everything. So now there's finally the breakup. You know, big tech came in, and at first big tech was good because it was an alternative to the television. But now the big tech is out getting corrupted, too. They're getting corrupted. So it's an ongoing fight for freedom and liberty because big tech, you know, has really swung against Trump in this last election. I mean, it was just blatantly, they set up this system where they use these fact checkers were obviously left wing. I mean, the fact checkers are almost as bad as the pollsters right now. You know, think about it. See, what the media wants you to think is that, okay, if you think our media reporting is wrong, okay, but the polls, those are accurate, and the fact checkers, well, that's accurate. Well, think about how illogical that is to believe that. So the fact checkers are used to enforce speech on, you know, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, but it's really a sneaky way to use a left-wing agenda or an anti-liberty agenda. And they also they also hate speech. In other words, they say they're for free speech, but then they carve out these exceptions. One is hate speech, one is fake news, one is something that's unsafe because of the virus. So if you start talking about you don't think we should wear masks, they knock you down on Facebook. If you have articles about the statistics of the number of deaths, then they label it fake news. They say that's fake news, you know. So they've carved out these exceptions, and of course, if you followed the rules as the fact checkers tell you, then Democrats would win every election. Okay, and that's why the Republicans who used to win were so lame. We call them rhinos. Why were they so lame? Because they tried to follow what the fact checkers said. Do you ever hear Mitt Romney disagree with the fact checkers? Did you ever hear George Bush disagree with the fact checkers or John McCain? And by the way, if you notice how prominent the fact checkers have become, when did you first even know about the fact checkers? Okay, I didn't even really pay that much attention to them until recently.
But they're just
they fact check everything. They fact check everything. Now they fact check opinions. They don't just facts. It used to be when someone make a factual statement, you could check. You know, that's what they used to do. Now they do. They fact check your opinions. I remember it right after Trump was elected in the last election. Trump, you know, likes to hype it up, and he says, "I want a landslide victory." First fact check I saw. Nope, that's not true. It's false. It wasn't a landslide victory. Okay? A landslide victory is an opinion. It's not a fact. How can you possibly fact check something like that? And then they said, "Oh, because most of the other presidents won by more than Trump did." Okay? Well, what if you're a football team and you win every game by 40 points and then you win a game by 30 points? Is that a blowout? Just because the other games you won by more than that? I mean, maybe it wasn't really a landslide. It's an opinion, though. So why are they fact checking that Trump won in the landslide? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if you work in the mainstream media, you can't say that Trump won in a landslide. That's been fact checked. So no writer, if you read a letter to the editor, if you have a guest column, if you work at your newspaper, if you wrote in your article that Trump won a landslide, they would not allow that article to be printed. And then you eventually would get fired if you tried to fight against it. And then this is just one of thousands of things that have been fact-checked. Trump said recently he's done more for black Americans than any other president except for Abraham Lincoln. Okay? Well, that's an opinion, isn't it? Well, even the fact-checkers even had that one rated. The fact checkers, what they did with that one is they talked to quote some experts, and the experts said, "No, that isn't true." Okay. So the experts said that Trump hasn't done as much for black Americans as any other president since Abraham Lincoln. Well, you can argue about it. You could say that Lyndon Johnson signed the Civil Rights Act or something. You can argue about it, but it's an opinion. You know, some people think that Lyndon Johnson destroyed the black nuclear family. If you look at the statistics, 88% of black families had two parents when they were born in the early 60s before Lyndon Johnson. Now it's like 35%. So who's done more? The fact checkers use this to control you. It's like a George Orwell thing, and the fact checkers are one of the worst offenders, and they're used by big tech and the mainstream media both. And by the way, who runs the fact checkers? Who owns these companies? Well, we have factcheck.org, we got PolitiFact, there's one on the Washington Post has a fact checker, there's Snopes, and I don't even remember the last one. There's like five fact checkers that they accept. But by the way, there's fact checkers, Breitbart News and Daily Caller, which are full service news organizations, they now do fact checking. But their fact checking is ignored by the other fact checkers. In other words, we have people fact checking the fact checkers. So when it's all said and done, it's an opinion. Most of this stuff is an opinion. There are certain things that aren't opinions, but most of it is an opinion.
They've just added a new layer of bullshit to the old bullshit, Rolf. You know, when they got fact checkers that are under their thumb, they're just going to confirm the propaganda they're issuing. They want the public to believe and claim that they have verification by fact checkers who have their head where the sun doesn't shine. I mean, these, you know, ask for verification about who shot JFK, right? And the fact checkers will tell you, oh, of course, Lee Oswald.
Anything that's controversial is very, the fact checkers are the last place you want to go. By the way, the other place that this is Wikipedia. Wikipedia is also doing the same thing. They're controlled by the fact checkers. You know, another thing they do with the fact checkers is they always claim something lacks context. So if you say something that's true, but they don't like it, the fact checkers will just tell you that you lack context. Well, sometimes let's say you're giving a speech. You know, remember if you write a scientific paper or something, yeah, then you want to put the context in. But if you're just giving a speech, you don't have time to give all the context, right? So that's a tactic that they use. And then if it's something that a Democrat says, they're much less likely to claim it lacks context. And I'll give you an example. I remember a fact check. This is before Trump even came along. Rand Paul said that government workers get more compensation than private sector workers for the same work. Okay? So the fact checkers said it was not true, or mostly not true, or something like that. They started out by saying that it was true, okay? But then they said, but most people think that compensation is just the salary. In other words, what they found is that government workers get paid about the same as private workers for the same work, but government workers have a lot more benefits on top of the salary than the private sector workers. So you do get more, and by the way, Rand Paul was very clear. He said compensation. He didn't say salary. Okay, but the fact checkers just said, well, most people think that salary is the same thing as compensation. So therefore, you know, it lacks context. It was a pile of crap because it's true. It's true. The government workers, and of course, the argument behind this, of course, is what a lot of people say is the government is inefficient. So the idea from going back to the founding fathers is to have the government do as few things as possible and have the private sector do as many things as possible. And the founding fathers knew that some things need to be done by the government. Okay, so when the Constitution was set up at the time, the things that the founding fathers thought the government should do were separated with the government. Things like setting up post roads and post offices, you know, having the U.S. military, prisons, you know, you don't want prisons being privately owned, you know, things like that. But other things like health care were done in the private sector. Education was done in the private sector for the most part. Although they did think that it was okay to have some government colleges, like Jefferson did, but they didn't want a government monopoly on education by the government. They certainly didn't want that. So what's happened is that when you're fighting against the fact checkers, they have an agenda. They want you to think that that having a big government is an efficient way to run a society. And we know from history that a big government, the bigger the government, the eventually they collapse economically, they decay, whether it's the Soviet Union or the Roman Empire or even the British Empire decayed because it was got bloated and bureaucratic. Trump is not a pure libertarian, but President Trump wants, he has the basic principles of the founding fathers in mind when he makes his case. Yeah.
Ralph, let me kick out the number for people who'd like to call in. Today it's 703-879-8880. I repeat, to call in today to speak to Ralph and me, or Giuseppe for that matter, who's producing for me in Mitch's absence, 703-879-8880. Ralph, let me run this by you. There's a very bizarre report here that Biden plans to assert control as president-elect if declared winner by news organizations. Now, listen to this. The Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro said publicly his state won't be releasing final election results until 3 days after the election. You've got the Biden campaign manager declaring that under no circumstances will Donald Trump be declared a victor on election night. And yet it appears that Biden is planning to declare himself to be the victor if he's said to do so by the news organization. This is just ridiculous, in my opinion. And let me ask you this, Ralph. Weren't the voting machines supposed to expedite the counting of votes? I mean, what good are voting machines if they can't give you an immediate total? It's a trivial computation from the point of view of computers to add up a string of numbers. That's what they're especially good at. So since we have all these voting machines, why aren't we getting the reason that we were talked into them in the first place, namely an immediate result?
Each state has their own rules. So in some states, by law, you don't start counting the votes until election day. So if half the votes are mail-in or absentee ballot, and you don't even start counting them until election day, they still have to run them through. Like in Wisconsin, I don't think they start counting till today. So they still have to run the ballots through the machines, and you know they're also some of these judges have, and there are state laws vary, but some ballots can come in after the election. They're supposed to be postmarked before the election. Of course, what if happens if there's no postmark on it? You know, things like that. But there could be some delays in counting the votes. But actually, according to Corey Lewandowski, if Trump is able to have a decent margin, you know, when I say decent, that means 1 or 2%, maybe 3% in Florida, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Ohio. I think he listed those states: Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Florida. Then they could declare Trump the victory on election night. This is just another example of the media losing power to Trump or to someone else, because the media wants the power to declare victory. Okay? Well, politicians declare victory all the time. They don't have to wait for, you know, a politician doesn't have to wait for ABC News to declare victory. Why should they? Anybody can declare victory.
And Rolf,
Trump is already declaring that he's winning. He's already doing that. Because he has, and Trump doesn't lie. I know how Trump works. I know his code language. When he says he's doing very well in a state, that means he's winning that state. He has people doing the numbers, and he knows where he's doing well. If he leaves a state out, then that could be a bad sign that in that state, if he leaves a state out. But maybe it's a state where it's not as important. You know, he's not going to win every state.
Look how insulting it is for the networks to be declaring the winner when the networks are overwhelmingly biased for the Democrats and have been covering up for Joe Biden for about a year or more now. They won't even report, you know, the most obvious about the Hunter laptop scandal and all the evidence of corruption and that Biden has been lying his face off. I mean, why would anyone give any credence to the news media?
Well, I think that the news media is in for a big, big problem after the election, because when I found out that the Spygate criminals, you know, we're talking about James Comey, McCabe, Stroke, John Brennan, Lisa Page, those guys, when I found out that those charges were not going to be filed before the election, one of the things that occurred to me was this. Trump must know that he can win without this, because obviously it would help his campaign to show that the criminals in the last election were spying on his campaign, right? So I was kind of disappointed that they couldn't in all the 4 years. Of course, there's a lot of delays. You know, we had Sessions, and then he was under investigation, and then we recused, and then we got Barr, and then we got Durham, and then we had the COVID. So with all these delays, they did charge the one guy, Kevin Kleinsmith. They did charge him, but I was disappointed. But then I said to myself, I bet you Trump already knows he's going to win. And think about it. If he wins and then they roll these cases out, in some ways that's even better than if they do it before the election, because then you can't say it's political. And same with the Hunter Biden laptop stuff. If they're going to go in, if Trump is reelected, you can bet that there's going to be hell to pay with that, with the information on that laptop, because that Bob Alinsky guy is already singing like a canary. And even if they can't convict someone of a crime, they're going to be implicated in corruption. And he's going to do it. If he does it after the election, it's actually much less political. So that's the silver lining. It's like, of course, that's assuming that he wins the election.
Right. Let's squeeze in the phone number again. If you want to call in after the break, we're running up against it. 703-879-8880. 703-879-8880. We'll be right back with Rolf Lindgren.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio, where the information never sleeps.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm very glad to say we have a call from the UK from Dean. Join the conversation, Dean. I'm delighted to have you back. Dean, you're there, right?
The call failed. I'm trying him again.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, there great. He is. Join the conversation. I'm delighted you called again. Go ahead.
Oh, I was loving what I was hearing. There was just two thoughts that came to mind. I mean, one of them was, out of all the swing states, who has typically the lowest salaries for like jobs? Because they'd be the ones I'd watching for, and for swinging to Trump. The only reason why I say that is because Biden just gives you the general sense of low confidence. And I just remember the when we had the Leave EU vote, there was a sudden surprise rush of votes coming from the northwest of the UK. And it just reminds me of that, where they were very much swing votes and they were typically left wing voters. But they swung for Leave EU because they were just losing confidence in the EU and the idea of stability in the country for the future. With all that's gone on. And with the COVID-19 being lower down on the interests of the voters, what they're going to vote over, it just strikes me as a perfect opportunity for those that have lower salaries in the swing states to actually tip over to Trump.
Rolf.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, there's you know, it wasn't that long ago that a Republican, people thought, oh, those are the rich people. You know, those are the bankers or something. You know, those are the guys that go play golf. You know, now you got the blue collar people shifting to Trump. You got lots of rappers, you know, switching to Trump, and that's what's happening with the so-called white working class shifted to Trump, and that trend could continue in this election. It could take what we started in 2016. I mean, remember, Trump's campaign was on a shoestring in the last election. He had to beat off all these other guys in the primary. I mean, he had to beat these other people in the primary, 17 Republicans. He was under attack from all these different people. He didn't have the money. He was outspent 3-1 on television by Hillary Clinton. He got hammered by these other groups. Now this election, he has got more money. He's got 4 years of data collection. Look at all these rallies. At all these rallies that he has, he collects the data, and he typically finds that 20 to 30% or even more have not even voted recently. Okay. 20 to 40% are often Democrats or independents.
We'll call you back in a second.
Thanks.
And so Trump is picking up a lot of people. Then things like the prison reform bill. Okay, that's what typical working class. We don't want to be screwed over by the government. If someone gets arrested and does something illegal, they if they have to go to jail, they should have a fair sentence. It shouldn't be 30 years if it should be 5 years or whatever. And then they did some reform, and the reform may not be exactly. And then, of course, the way, if you talk to Trump, he's not talking about the drug war very often. He does arrest international traffickers and illegal aliens and stuff to do it. But most of the time he's talking about real crimes like breaking windows and robbing people and things like that. Those people need to be locked up. That's how you stop violent crime. You have to find out who the criminals are and get them off the streets. Where I live in Madison, we only have 5 to 10 murders per year. Okay, I think we just had our 11th one. Okay, most of the murders are the people. 80 to 90% of the murders, the person who did the murder gets caught. Okay. So one thing we do know is that if there's a murderer, the murderer is almost always caught. I think the one we just had is actually an unsolved one. But most of the murders are 80 to 90% of the murders, the person is caught. So there's very few murderers on the loose in Madison or Dane County. Go down to Chicago, where they have dozens of murders every weekend. They have like 80, 90... sometimes 95% of the murders are unsolved murders. Okay. So think about that. Whoever these people are who are committing these murders, they didn't get caught. So what do you think these people are going to do? They probably commit a lot of crimes over and over again. So what you really need to do is that the FBI has special ways of tracking these kinds of people down and finding who these people are and getting and arresting these people, because these are the kind of people you got to get these people and take them out. That's what you got to do. Then the murder rate will go down, and the crime rate will go down. Now we had these rallies from Black Lives Matter, which turned into riots and things. It's the same thing. In those crowds of people, there probably were a lot of peaceful protesters, but there's hooligans in those crowds. Especially later at night, sometimes they're from out of state, sometimes they're just drunk people. But those people with surveillance cameras, you can put a camera on these crowds and figure out who the bad people are and get them and take them out. That's what you got to do. So I think that the working class people, they don't want these criminals running around breaking into buildings either, no more than the people who own the buildings do. In Madison, we have State Street still boarded up. It's been boarded up all summer. Now they're even boarding it up even more, they say, today, because they think there's going to be more riots tonight. I can tell you one thing. I'm going to park my car underground in the underground garage tonight, because I'm not going to have my Trump bumper stickers out on the street today.
And you know, Rolf, that the Biden people have been making the absurd claim that it's right-wing people who are causing all this disturbance, when the Democrats have been condoning and supporting Black Lives Matter and Antifa and these riots and looting from the beginning.
Well, whoever the people are, they're not Trump supporters, that's for sure. They're not Trump supporters.
Let me add, I just got a phone call from a colleague, Danny Saras, with whom I've done many recent reports, especially about the Biden laptops, that BitChute has been taken down. And I just went to check it out, and he appears to be correct. In other words, these totalitarians who don't want us to have access to freedom of speech or other people's opinion or evidence that contradicts their narrative have even taken down what heretofore has been one of the largest, if not the largest, alternatives to YouTube. It is shut down right now.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Something's going to, after Trump wins, and by the way, if you haven't voted, make sure you vote. If it's the polls are still open. That's it's outrageous. I got a report here from Arizona from Paul Sperry. Paul Sperry was a investigative reporter for Real Clear Politics. He says that the Democrats put out frantic text messages, especially in Arizona, telling the volunteers to ignore previous COVID precautions and go out knocking on doors for Biden. As you know, that the Biden campaign is very woke, so they were not knocking on any doors during the whole election. And this is not just the Biden campaign. This is all the senators and all the congressmen and all the super PACs. They're not knocking on doors. Now, a couple states, three or four states announced a month ago that they were going to start knocking on doors. I don't remember which states those were. I think one of them was New Hampshire and one of them was Michigan, whether they actually started or not. Because remember, the Democrats are woke, right? And we're not going to go out door-to-door campaigning because that could spread the virus, right? You know, even though people go to the grocery store. But now apparently in Arizona, they threw out their rules the last weekend, and they must have authorized door-to-door knocking. Well, the Republicans have been doing door-to-door. We've got an operation here in Dane County, the Trump headquarters. They've got a lot of people. I heard they had 150 people out today doing doors. From
Ralph,
a lot of them are college Republicans and young Republicans doing. That's a lot. I mean, they have, even though that's more than usual, they've always had a dozen or two out every day since the summer they started this. So,
Ralph, yeah, how many times?
I went out and did doors a couple of days. I didn't do a whole lot of it, but I did 250 doors in 2 days. And they got people out. Trust me, you knock on the doors, and there's people who answer the door, and they're voting for Trump, and these are not regular voters in many cases.
Ralph, you and
it's
I discussed.
Very effective.
Ralph, you and I discussed during the summer how the Democrats, in your opinion, were putting themselves into a deep hole by not going door to door over the COVID. You made that point repeatedly to me, and you're spot on.
Supposedly, if you're contacted at your house by an actual physical person, you're 16 to 17% more likely to vote than if you're not contacted. Now, the Democrats are contacting people. Yeah, they're sending them flyers in the mail, and they're calling them up, and they're sending them text messages. Okay, yeah, you can get text. But sometimes people like to talk to a real person, right? A lot of people do. It's like when you call in somewhere, you got to call in to, you know, do you want to talk to a machine that routes your call, or do you want to talk to an operator? Most people like to talk to a real person. It's the same thing with voters. They like to talk to someone. They just kick it, you know, what's the latest with Trump? You know, what do you think is going on? You know, people like, and then you can just talk with them for a minute or two. Then, of course, you want to get, you can give them some extra campaign literature. You know, they may want to hand their stuff out to their friends. Who knows? But they like to hear from a physical person. I also went door to door one day getting signatures for a candidate to get on the ballot as well, a state Senate candidate. And that was also a nice experience as well. I got about 25 signatures in a couple hours, and people were pretty happy to hear from me because, you know, I had a Trump T-shirt on, and these were people who we had. This was a targeted list, so the people there were more already probably Republicans, but they like to hear from someone about the campaigns. They like to hear about it, and so when I went door to door for Trump, those were not targeted lists. Those were just every door. So I hit every door, 10 houses in a row in the street, went to every one. And there were people that didn't like Trump, but I was surprised. It seemed like there were more people that liked Trump than didn't like Trump. So it was a real eye-opener. I had one guy, he told me he was a hidden Trump voter. Okay, well, that's a good sign. A young woman, only about say 20, with a little baby. She told me she was undecided. Okay, that's the last person you'd think would be undecided. You'd think she'd be a Democrat, but she said she was undecided, so I gave her some extra campaign literature. There was another, and then there was a black guy, right, like literally right next door. He said that his whole church was going to vote for Trump. Okay? So I'm like, that's great to hear. And then there are, that's one of the reasons why minorities are switching to Trump is things like some people don't like abortion. Some people like school choice. Some people like that Trump has supported black colleges. Some people like that Trump is doing the prison reform. Some people just like a better economy. There's a lot of reasons why people are switching to Trump. And it's not, and it applies to minorities as well as white people, or as, you know, a lot of people are switching to Trump. And like I said, it's mostly the lies you see on TV. It wasn't for the lies on TV about Trump. Probably almost everybody would probably be for Trump. So the question is, who's gonna blink? Because these news agencies really need to be reformed, because they're destroying our country with their liberal agenda, their anti-liberty agenda. It seems like they support almost anything that's anti-liberty. You know, one thing about this virus, you know, one of the biggest conspiracy theories out there is the government creates a crisis to then seize power, right? And we know that that's true historically. The government can creates a crisis and then seizes power. Well, with this thing with COVID, it's the exact opposite. Trump isn't seizing any power, any special powers over the virus. Trump could have almost become a dictator over this virus, I guess, if he wanted to. But he's done the exact opposite. But look at the Democrats who want to be dictators. They want you to take bites in between, put your mask on between bites in California. In Michigan, they want every bar and restaurant to take down the names of everybody who comes into their store. You've heard about that, right? I mean, there's so many different things that these Democrats are doing, and the predominant states are, think places like California, Michigan, New Jersey, New York. Andrew Cuomo, all he's doing is complaining about Trump, and then he has 40,000 people die in the nursing homes. Because he sent sick people into the nursing homes. Crazy. So I'm really impressed with President Trump's restraint of not seizing power, but simply allowing the states to handle it. And we're going to find out today if that worked, because I can't imagine that the voters in Michigan. And also in Wisconsin, we have Tony Evers. This guy puts out these orders out of the blue. There's another order out. Like, what's the latest big news in Wisconsin? Oh, 27 football players on the football team, the Wisconsin Badgers, have the virus. Okay? And how many of them are actually sick? Probably none of them. Okay? And how many of the football players are more likely to be injured playing football than they are from a virus? Probably all of them, right? I mean, the whole thing is just nonsense. And people, I've got to think that there's enough people that are just sick of it and ready to vote. If you want to wear a mask, you can wear a mask. If you want to stay home, you can stay home. If you run a restaurant or a bar or a grocery store and you want to tell people to wear a mask in your store, then go ahead and do that. But what if you run a store and you don't want to force everyone to wear a mask? Then the government shouldn't be. And this virus is not as bad as the Black Plague. I've read a lot about different historical plagues, not just the influenza of 1918. I've read about the Black Plague, which started in 1346, which killed 25% of the people in Europe, maybe more. The Plague of Justinian in the 6th century A.D., which was, some people think, was even worse than there's been a lot of plagues in history. The plague we have now is nothing compared to these other plagues.
Ralph, let me bring in Giuseppe.
Plague at an 80% death rate.
Yeah, Let me bring in Giuseppe on this point because he's all over this. And, of course, it's ridiculous. They're no longer even counting flu deaths because they're all lumping them together to jack up the COVID death rate for the election. All of a sudden, I think this is going to disappear tomorrow or in a few days. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Jim, this scamdemic is two things. It's the rebranded normal cold flu season with its comorbidity deaths. You know, anyone who's sick with cancer, with late stage diabetes, with chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder, COPD, with you name it, they get a flu, they get a cold. Instead of dying in 4 months, they die 4 months earlier. It kills them. You know, it's just tragic, but that's just, we live, we die, right? And combine that with a very attenuated bioweapon, which was created in labs as most awake alt-right and mainstream, non-mainstream media has covered that it was in North Carolina, it was at Fort Detrick it started, then in Madison, Wisconsin for a while, then it got moved over to Wuhan, China for the last couple of years. It is attenuated, which means it's weakened, because it is a bioweapon that features an RNA snippet of SARS, the upper respiratory deadly HIV, MERS supposedly, and even an RNA snippet of a parasite that causes malaria. So if that was full on released in all its glory, it would kill a lot of people. But they don't want to kill a lot of people this first go round. They want to scare a lot of people and drive the 10-year plan of the vaccine messiac, the psychopath, the narcissistic megalomaniac Bill Gates, who wants to be a vaccine king of the world. It's absurd. And the CDC itself, there are some honest people in the CDC, 90% of all deaths, more like 95% actually, who have died this year since this scamdemic, the so-called COVID-19 pandemic. Of the 220,000 deaths a month or so ago, up year to date, probably a few more now, that were originally attributed to COVID, the actual cause, this is from the CDC's own website, 88,208 were actually from pneumonia and influenza, 17,799 chronic respiratory disease, 26,365 respiratory distress syndrome, 44,261 hypertensive disease, that's high blood pressure, 23,275 heart disease, 28,000 cardiac arrest. All those other causes of death were listed under COVID-19. Why? Because the corrupt CDC at the leadership levels, like Fauci, gave an incentive of, I think it was, I don't know, like $29,000 extra dollars if you listed it as COVID death from Medicare, as opposed to listing it as an actual cause of death, which I just listed. So the corruption is insane. Sadly, as Rolf so lucidly outlined, the media, the globalist media, the corrupt mind control media is trying to scare the average citizen out of their mind. And they're doing a pretty good job, since so many of these goofs are wearing masks, when masks, by the CDC's own admission, by every major medical authority's publication own admission, these masks are worthless. And yet everybody's wearing a mask.
Not only does BitChute appear to have been shut down, but we now have a report. Twitter will slap a warning label on tweets claiming election results before they're officially declared. I mean, what the hell? Who are these people? This is just ridiculous.
I have a report on the election. Eric Trump says in Nevada is very close. He says that Minnesota is very close. And he says, and things like things are a little bit better in Pennsylvania. So those were reports from Eric Trump on Twitter. Maybe we have to put a warning label on that. What do you think?
Yeah.
Caller, I agree with him on this, on the plandemic. I call it the plandemic. My working hypothesis with this virus, okay, first of all, they have biowarfare labs all over the, you know, every country has one now. The United States has one. Okay, tell me this. Tell me this isn't a likely possibility. They create a virus that's designed to kill old people, but not young people. Why would you do that? Because all these old people all over the world who are on a government assistance since the baby boom after World War II, which ended, 85 years ago? Or 75 years ago, okay? So people who are born right after World War II are getting old, okay? So all the health care costs of old people could possibly bankrupt and impoverish the entire world. So what do they do at the BioWare? They develop a virus that's contagious and kills old people, okay? Sounds pretty sick, doesn't it? Well, a virus just like that just appeared right after the impeachment ended, and maybe someone said, hey, maybe we can use this virus to stop Trump. It's dangerous enough that you can't just ignore it, but on the other hand, it's not the Black Plague either. It has a lot of benefits for Joe Biden's campaign. Think about it. For one thing, Trump couldn't hold his rallies all year. Okay? Those rallies were great. Remember in 2018 he had all those rallies too? So it interferes with Trump's rallies too. Biden doesn't even have rallies anyway, so it doesn't affect Biden's rallies. Then it knocks down the economy, which is Trump's signature achievement and would have guaranteed him an easy reelection. And then fourth, you can complain about Trump not seizing government power as well. So you can say Trump blew the response. So there's a lot of benefits for the Democratic Party. This virus has a lot of benefits for the Democratic Party, and I don't see very many benefits for the Republican Party.
Great.
At all.
Great points, Rolf. We'll be right back after this break. Stand by.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. And there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution. Radio!
Hi,
Hi, everybody. It's me, the Fetch, host of Inside the Eye Live. Before the Sunday mainstream media, political pundit talk shows, there is Inside the Eye Live, where we break down some of the weekly mainstream media talking points before the talking points even get aired. Add in some entertaining stories, weather, cats, intriguing and informative guests, and you get one of the most listened to Saturday morning streaming media political talk shows going today. And it's all right here on our flagship station, Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. So join me, the Fetch, for Inside the Eye Live every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. It is truly intelligent media for the politically aware.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
I want to begin the home stretch by bringing in Mitchell, who has been very much involved in politics in Virginia, for his take. Mitchell.
Hey, hello, Jim. How y'all doing? Wow. We're on the verge of history once again, I guess. Donald Trump wins. It will prove once and for all that we really haven't had elections. What we've had is selections and managed perception as far as who is going to be the leader of this country. Independents and libertarians are going to probably sway a few states. But, you know, for the most part, everybody is so deeply invested in the two-party system that they can't find a way out of it. And if we can't get out of the two-party system, I don't know if there's any way we can get our government back. You have to hand it to the Democrats and Republicans for manufacturing a crisis that drives the herd or herds the voters into certain positions. It's a masterful psyop, and it continues.
Rolf, your thoughts. Rolf has a long history with.
I used to be against the two-party system, but the two-party system used to be okay. The Republicans were for less government, you know, except for when there was a war, or except for when there was the drug war, or except for the Patriot Act, or otherwise they're for less government. You know, and then the Democrats were supposedly anti-war and for civil liberties, but then they wanted the welfare state. So they kind of chopped the pro-liberty people into two groups. Well, now it's completely shifted. It started with Ron Paul and then transcended through Rand Paul, the Tea Party, and now Trump is, you know, he's on the less government side of the issues, and the Democrats are on the big government side of the issues, whether it's civil liberties, whether it's wars, whether it's cutting the government size, whether it's cutting taxes and regulations. The Republicans are better. So now we have a functional two-party system where we have like a good party and a bad party. In the old days, we had two bad parties. So, and the Republicans, a lot of them aren't that great, you know, but with Trump at the top, they're a lot better than if it wasn't for Trump. So as long as Trump is in the party, and then, you know, someday he'll be gone, and we know that he can't last forever, then we'll see what develops, you know, down the road. But I think Trump can get reelected today. I did project a victory with 326 to 212. So far that looks very feasible. But I don't agree that right now that I think the third parties, I'm not going to sit and complain about third parties, though, okay? Okay, they don't get that many votes. I don't think it's worth our time to complain about the Libertarian Party or whatever. The Libertarian Party is actually probably benefiting Trump anyway, okay? Because think about it. If you're pro-liberty and you like Trump, you'll vote for Trump. If you're pro-liberty and you don't like Trump, then you're not going to vote for Trump anyway, so you can vote for the Libertarian Party. So in other words, because remember, the biggest issue in the election is Trump. If you either you like Trump or you don't like Trump. So if the Libertarian Party is a place for someone to vote, if you don't like Trump, you know, and you don't want to vote for Biden, you can vote for the Libertarian Party. So I think the Libertarian Party, and also the Libertarians' overall message is still pretty good. They seem to be, you know, they're not as seemingly as hard-hitting as they were at one time, but the Libertarian Party is, their commentary has a heck of a lot more, is a lot better than the Democrat commentary, which is always bigger government, no matter what the issue.
Let me bring back Dean. Let me bring back Dean from the UK. Dean, your further thoughts.
Well, I can warn this, speaking about a third party. A third party is a nice ideal, so I don't disagree with having other parties. But at the same time, I'll say this. There was a coalition in the UK where there was a third party called the Liberal Democrats, and they got in with a coalition with the Conservative Party, which was on the right, whereas the Liberal Democrats were on the left. In combination, they carried on the agenda, heavily so, because the third party turned out to be neoliberal also. And that's the big danger. You need to make sure that the third party and the fourth party don't become Democrat sub-party two and Republican sub-party two. That's the only warning I'd give.
Dean, while I've got you here, what's going on with Boris Johnson? It looks like he's gone crazy with the lockdown in the UK.
Now, this will frighten you because the penny has only just dropped for me today. So last show, the show before, you mentioned about Australia and the UK stroke Europe and saying that's the like template or model for where we could go if it got worse over here in the US.
Yeah.
Well, I would say this. Biden, in his debate speeches, when talking about what he would do in the lockdown versus what Trump would do, had an interesting subtlety to it. They both, on the surface, sound like they were almost going to do exactly the same thing to do with how much they lock down and don't lock down. But then there was a slight forcefulness from Trump saying, well, I want to open up more than you. And it was interesting because Trump talked about opening up schools and so on, even though Biden was talking about providing equipment that would allude to open up such places as this. Here's the actual difference now, I believe, between what Biden would do and Trump would do with their so-called opening it up. I think Biden will do the con that Boris has just put in, which is it will all look like he's going to do the same thing as Trump, but it will have a different effect. What Biden will do is he'll open up the schools, and this is what's happening in 2 days' time here, and open up the colleges and universities, right, which are places known for high contamination and where people go and get sick. When you're at school and so on, you get sick more, right? Then what he'll do is, for the elderly, he'll make a bubble system to say, oh, the vulnerable and elderly need to be looked after by the others. So then the families, where all their kids and older kids going to the schools and colleges, will be infected. Then they'll go over to the older person that's a special permission to go over to them. Then they'll catch it. Then the testing will go out. It will keep the numbers level. And then he can turn around and say, ah, but now we have to lock down everything other than just the schools and everything else because you failed. And the numbers carry on. And that's what they're doing here. They're doing a short-term lockdown, right? Again, we've got a second wave lockdown everywhere across the nation. That whole regional plan of one place is locked down more than the other, that's gone. Now it's everywhere is locked down to the max, but all the schools and everything are opening still, and everyone on their own can then go and see a particular family or group to interact with them. In other words, carrying on the propagation of the virus, keeping the test rates high, of positive. Very slippery, very sly. Lockstep of Europe, I think Biden will do.
Everyone has to understand there's no legitimate medical reason for lockdown, social distancing, wearing masks. They're all actually very harmful in multiple different ways. The masks are a way to kill you slowly. You think you're being virtuous, but you're killing your brain cells, putting additional stress on your cardiovascular system. This may be why Deagle.com, which has deep ties to the military-industrial complex, is projecting a two-thirds drop in the U.S. population from 330 million now to less than 100 million in 2025, because we're going to, on a massive scale, be taking our own lives. I mean, it's outrageous. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
Jim, it's just insane that people believe these corporate medical types. It's not science. It's pseudoscience. It's quackery. They don't have one test that actually tells you you have the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2. There is not one test that reveals anything more than you have a snippet of the RNA of the typical coronavirus or a snippet of the RNA of SARS. They have no way of testing for the actual novel coronavirus. Secondly, what they test is just floating around in your body. It has no verifiable information that says, because we found this, you have the disease. It's nothing but lies, all to serve this totalitarian agenda of a global vaccine mandate. And it's just insane.
Rolf, you were saying you got an update about Nevada and which other state where they were very close, but they oughtn't to be very close, should they? I mean, it seems to me there shouldn't be any.
Eric Trump says I think he sounds like he wants to take Nevada and Minnesota. It sounds like both of those states. He wants everybody to get out and vote if you're in line to stay in line. My biggest question with the testing is this. Okay, let's say that take the quarterback for the Badgers. Okay, he tested positive, Graham Mertz, right? Then he was retested to make sure that he was really positive. So then he tested positive a second time. Okay, so that's two positive tests, right? Right? It's one person, but it's two tests. So I want to know, if there's a million tests, positive tests, how many of these million tests, how many people is that? Is that 500,000 people? Is that 100,000 people? I mean, some people get tested over and over again until they're clear of the virus. So when they're counting the cases, they always say the number of cases. The number of cases is the number of cases the number of positive tests? Or how do they do it?
Yeah, that's the key ambiguity, Rolf. The number of cases is the number of positive tests. And over 90% of the tests are yielding false positives. This is the basis for the scam right there in a nutshell. The CDC recently acknowledged that if you take out those who had comorbidities, in other words, who had reasons why they were going to die anyway, that the actual number of deaths that could be attributed to the coronavirus is less than 10,000, less than 10,000.
Okay, well, I guess, like I said, if the number of cases, the other thing is if someone tests positive, but they didn't even go to the hospitals, then why should I, you know, it's just people get the flu, how many people have never had the flu? Do you go to the hospital every time you get the flu? Well, if I was 80 years old, maybe I would, but I'm not that old, you know. So
Can I interject a second?
Yeah.
The reason people are going to the hospital, where you're so absolutely right, normally wouldn't, is because they're so fear-addled because of this campaign to scare the shit out of people. Oh, my God, I got the Rona. That's what's driving it. I mean, I don't know if you've ever checked out Del Bigtree on the highway, or a couple months back, he ran through all the numbers from the CDC, why it spiked in February, because Bill Gates became Chicken Little about the sky is falling with this worst pandemic ever. And all these people started freaking out and running to the hospital because they had the cold or the flu. It's criminal what they've done.
I agree that that's another thing. And more people are going to the hospital than normal because they're worried about it. You know, I caught a bad cold in the last week of December between Christmas and right around Christmas to New Year's, you know, I felt like crap for a couple of days, but I was, you know, I didn't change. I still did things. I didn't just stay home and do nothing. I wasn't that sick. You know, I don't know. Maybe I had the COVID back in December. I don't know. You know, I'll never know. But like I said, I didn't freak out over it because I every so often you catch a bad cold. Everybody gets a cold now and then. So I just think it's overhyped. It was, like I said earlier, I think that the virus is dangerous enough that things have to be done. You have to keep it out of nursing homes, for example, okay? And you ought to keep it out of hospitals too, okay? That's good. That's a good thing. But once you stop, once you get past those two places, it's over. It is overhyped. It's something that needs to be worried to concern. There is concern. There is some legitimate concern, but it's the media then, like, they make it sound like if you're not as concerned as we are, then there's something wrong with you. You're a bad person if you're not as concerned about it as we are. And that's the stuff that, and I think a lot of people are sick of it. And like I said, this started how many months ago? 8 months ago now. I you know, we got to hope that after 8 months, there's enough people that are sick of it that they're going to vote for Trump. And that's as far as I can tell, that's what's happening. Because we're going to get some real numbers pretty soon. It's only a few hours away. We're going to know some real numbers. We're going to start with Florida. Okay, Trump, everything I'm seeing looks like Trump is winning and is doing well in Florida, better than he did in the last election. If Trump wins Florida, we're halfway home right there.
Mitchell, okay. Why don't you join, Mitchell?
Well,
still there?
Yeah. You know, we're at a place where we never thought we would really be. And, you know, as we talk, the question is, you know, it doesn't really matter who gets elected. You know, they're going to have to deal with the COVID scandemic and the misinformation that everybody has been fed for months. And at the same time, they're going to have to deal with the liberal post-election meltdown, whatever that may entail. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know what's going to happen, but be prepared for all circumstances, I guess, is what I would say.
Rolf.
Well, some people think that the plandemic is going to end as soon as the election's over. But I guess it depends who wins. If Joe Biden wins, I think that it's going to wind down quickly after the election, no matter what. Even if Trump wins, because we got Thanksgiving coming up. By the way, have you heard about these draconian Thanksgiving rules that are being given? You can only have like three families can get together and no more than, what is it, 8 people. I mean, each state, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know,
if you're in New York, you know, you cross that state line, you better be quarantining or carrying papers.
Some places you want to, like people who are alone in their car and they're driving around, they have a mask on. I mean, that's just, I see people and I'm like, oh my God. But I think the virus is going to wind down. I think there's enough pressure. If Trump wins, that's going to be a message that people are sick of the scare tactics, which I believe is what's going to happen. We got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up, and people want to get back to normal. People who have special conditions, you know, respiratory issues, then they're going to have to continue to be careful. But most people can go back to normal, you know, hopefully after the election. President Trump is going to there's going to be big changes after the election. As far as I'm concerned, the new world order, or whatever you want to call it, is going to be in seriously bad shape. First of all the criminals who are spying on Trump, those charges from John Durham are going to be coming. Okay, it's trust me, they're gonna charge Brennan and Clapper and Comey and McCabe and Stroke and Page. Those people are gonna be charged. John Durham has been expanding his investigation. That's one of the reasons why it took so long. It's taking so long. That also the virus. The other thing that's going to happen is the Hunter Biden corruption. That's going to be opened up, and I think that some of these news organizations are going to say cry uncle, and just say, look, maybe we can coexist with Trump. And I think the first one that's going to flip is Facebook. I think that Zuckerberg is a closet Trump supporter. He's constantly being harangued by the New York Times because he's not cracking down enough on fake news, constantly being harangued by the other news media agencies. You know, he's allowing advertising. Twitter banned political advertising. Facebook banned it for the last week. Of course, that's unless you already bought it, so you can still do it. So I think the first shoe to drop is going to be Zuckerberg is going to become more open to Trump. Facebook, I think that they're going to file the charges. The economy is going to continue to get better, and Trump is going to really be in control. We can only hope that the House goes to Trump, because if the House is still controlled by Nancy Pelosi, then Trump won't be able to get anything done through the legislature. Okay, that's the problem. Of course, that's the way the Founding Fathers made our government. They made our government a divided government, so you didn't. It takes a while to make fundamental change. It takes several elections. I think there's a good chance that Trump takes the House back and get rid of Nancy Pelosi. So we have to find out, after we find out of Trump won, we have to find out of what's going on in the House elections. That's the first thing. Because like I said, Trump can only issue so many executive orders. Okay, he can tweet and he can issue executive orders, and that was great. He did a lot of great stuff, but he can't do that for 8 years. There's going to be nothing left for him to do pretty soon with these executive orders. So we need to. There's talk of a tech to reining in big tech, and that's a tough issue because I'm a believer in the free market, but I think that the problem with the big tech issue is that the Section 230 is preventing them from being sued. That's really the problem. If these big tech companies want to do all this political, you know, stuff that they're doing, then they should be open for lawsuits, because they're not acting as a platform, they're acting as a publisher. That's the simplest way to do it. There's also issues with contracts. If you have a contract that you can have free speech, and then you say, no, you can't have free speech, that's a violation of contract. And then there's also the issue of campaign election laws. Are these in-kind contributions to – why are they doing this? Why are they so openly for the Democrats? Why is that? You know, it used to be that the high-tech people were the libertarians. It wasn't that long ago that they were the people at Google were the libertarians. You know, remember those days? It seems like that's a long time ago. Jim.
Yeah. Rolf, excellent. We're almost to the end. I want to give everyone a chance for a final thought here. Just very briefly, Dean, you first.
I just hope if Trump gets back in that the Ghislaine Maxwell case carries on and they do press charges on people that messed around with his term.
I'm very glad you called in, Dean. Mitchell, your final thoughts.
Well, expect more disinformation and misinformation and outright lying by the media to herd you into some position. To the point where you can't believe anything you hear and not much of what you see. That's part of the psyop.
Is Virginia going to go red?
Well, in my area, it has always been conservative. However, you know, we're outvoted by, you know, Alexandria, Richmond and Virginia Beach. So,
okay, that's thanks, Giuseppe, your final thoughts.
I thought Rolf made a key point. What happened to Google being libertarian? And I think what happened is they got a taste of elite power and wealth and fame, and suddenly they became petty tyrants on the global stage. And clearly, they're censoring just like Mao Zedong now. It's insane. And Virginia, I'm up here in new Bolshevik 2.0, 11 miles west of the District of Criminals, and there's a lot of Biden signs. Hopefully, though, the people heading south into Prince William and the other counties, Fauquier County, that are that could be the tipping point if they come back to their sanity and vote Trump. Because up here in Northern Virginia, there's no hope.
Thanks, Giuseppe. Rolf, another wonderful job. We got the final seconds for you, summing up your thoughts about the election.
Okay, according to the New York Times, the voter turnout may be higher than the Kennedy-Nixon election in 1960. And Joe Biden's campaign claims that they have, quote, strong numbers in Wisconsin, Michigan, North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona, and the second district of Nebraska. They don't mention Florida as one of those states. So, you know, of course, I don't know if I believe when they say strong, that doesn't really tell you anything. So,
right. It sounds like a lot of bullshit to me. Rolf, thanks again. Another wonderful contribution to conversation. Thanks to Dean, to Giuseppe, to Mitchell, but especially you, Rolf, really, keeping us abreast of the latest.
Okay, hopefully we'll be back soon after celebrating a Trump victory tonight.
You got it.
Wonderful. Otherwise, we may have to go hide for the hills if Biden wins.
Well, walk it.
All right, thank you. Trump, Trump.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.